Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Citizens, what's going on? New Amsterdam Radio is coming at you. It's Lobo Voice, the mayor, hanging out with each and every single one of you as we do another episode of the trip around the week. Make sure you're working on your projects and make sure you're holding time for yourself. How's everyone doing? You know, how are you working on? What's working on? What's making you happy? All things I want to know. You guys can let me know that by hitting me or the show up on the social medias at New Amsterdam on Instagram and at New_Amsterdam on that X. Still, it's still going to be Twitter for me for as long as the eyes can see. As for me, it's springtime. So what's really I've been working on last year, it's coming back full circle, is my love of baseball content. I'm being able to work a little more on that avenue. If you are just craving to hear my voice talk about sports, I'm a contributor for the Black Baseball Mixtape podcast over with the Chiefs Movement. So being able to work with them is always fun. And this spring, I'm on the road some more to cover some of that. But for me, it's all about making sure I'm moving closer to the dream and the promised land. But to help me get tickets for some of the best baseball games in the land, I'm using SeatGeek. And I'm being honest with you, there are a lot of times where SeatGeek bailed me out and got me the seats I needed right before game time in places I love, in places I can brag about to my friends who didn't want to come with me. And just to show you how much of a good guy I am, I want to hook you up a little bit of the promo code action. Use promo code FLOBITO, that's FLOBITO, for $20 off your first order. That way you can go to baseball games, you can go to concerts, you can go to football games, you can go whatever you want. Make sure you use the promo code FLOBITO over at SeatGeek to get yourself $20 off your first order. It's a deal, and it's for me. Tell them FLOBITO sent you. Today's guest is someone that I actually mentioned this on the episode, but I have to tell the story and set the plate just a little bit more. My mom took a bit of a detour on her way to the United States, and she ended up settling there. So she lived in Scotland for a couple of years in the 70s, and I always wanted to go. And I had an opportunity to go to England the first week of 2023, and I got to go to Glasgow and see Stirling and Manchester, but my start and end point was the city of London. I actually landed in East London, and on my last day, I met with some family members in West London in a neighborhood called Ealing, and I was just overwhelmed being able to travel the 11 hours from Los Angeles to see her. My mom really came into her own as an adult in her early 20s, and seeing my family, seeing the Manchester City play, then I took a picture of my final drink in England in this pub at closing time in Ealing Broadway. And I was trying to find a song to capture the spirit. And I don't really know what's a nice Ealing song. So of course, in Instagram Reels, I put in Ealing Broadway. And the song was actually written by our guest today, CRS, and it really captured like this uplifting and inspirational thing about someone really liking a neighborhood, but kind of had like this melancholy downbeat vibe of, yeah, it's closing time. So that song always stuck with me. It's been on my personal repeat for a year. So I had to have a chance to sit down with the actual creator of that. And CRS is just a fantastic person. Took a little break from the music scene because it was getting to him and wanted to go back into it. And the conversation hit me especially hard as I'm dealing with a crossroads with my stand-up comedy career. So it was a perfect time that we got to connect and one of my favorite interviews in recent memory. And hopefully you dig it too. My chat with CRS is coming up right now. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing the dang thing. Long-term listeners of the show know when the pandemic happened, I tried to dabble in music, and I was terrible at it. But my guest today is amazing at it. Please welcome CRS. See what's going on, sir.
I'm good. Thank you. I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Man, I'm trying to be like you out there, man. You out there grinding, you making music happen. I mean, let's call it a spade. I saw the SoundCloud, huge catalog, and you still got more songs in the offing, brother. Like, how did music speak to you as a creative?
As a creative, how did it speak to me? Well, to be honest, for me, it kind of started when I was a bit younger. So I would say that for me, when I was around 10 years old, that's when everything kind of started. And funny enough, it was from watching a film. Do you remember that film called Happy Feet?
Yeah, the penguins.
The penguin, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a scene of I forgot his name. I think he's like Lucky or something like that, where he's singing on top, or he's like dancing on top of an iceberg, and then there's like this really funky tune that just comes in. It was "I Wish" by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Basically, ever since then, I basically searched a Happy Feet song online, and then downloaded his whole discography on Pirate Bay.
Okay, yeah.
That's where all I got all that music from, basically. Yeah. And that's how it started. To be honest, a lot of the music that I listen to actually came from film. So, for example, like how I even got into hip hop in the first place was that film Notorious.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard Juicy, that was like, I think that's to this day the only rap song, obviously other than mine, that I know like word for word, basically.
Okay.
And again, went online, downloaded the whole discography, and
And so you're born and raised in London, family from London too? Are you first generation, second generation? Are you
first generation is like when your parents come over and you're
If your parents are immigrants, country, right? Yeah.
So I'm first generation. So my mom's originally from Thailand, and then my dad is originally from Sierra Leone. So,
oh wow.
So yeah.
So
yeah,
what kind of food do you have in the house? Like, is it both?
It's just well, to be fair, I don't live with my pops, but I live with my mom, so it's mainly Thai food.
Okay.
In the crib. Yeah.
No, I respect that, man. Because it's interesting because my parents are first generation. They're both from Barbados, right? And
nice.
And for them, when you leave that island, it's like you go to the U.S. to make money, but you go to England for culture. It's like, oh, he went to England. Okay. You know, smart brother.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go into how I came across your music first. So this is as we record, this is March 24. Last January 23, I went to go visit to England because my mom had lived in Scotland in the 70s, and she told me how that was a time she found herself as a person. My oldest cousin lives out in West London, so I went to go visit him, and it was after a week and a half of traveling. I went to go see Manchester City play. I was having my time of my life, and I was in this bar, man, my last night in England in January, freezing my ass off, asked for a shot. Put the glass on the table, and I wanted the perfect song to actually line up with this. And I put in where I was on Instagram, and I said, "I am at Ealing Broadway," and your song came up, bro. And I've been a fan ever since. And I was like, man, imagine not even meeting you and having the right vibe of this, like it's closing time. So let me ask you this: as a performer, do you have situations where people come up to you and be like, "Yo, your music aligned with a point in my life"?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I guess one of the main songs that I would say probably has that effect would be Paradise, which is probably one of my most I guess popular tunes that I have, just because it's it reminds everyone of summer.
Yeah.
I literally wrote it for that purpose as well. So I would say probably that one. A few others as well, but I think that's probably the main one that comes up for me. And then also Wine Slow as well, but Wine Slow is more of like a party situation. So whenever anyone's, you know, about to go to a party or trying to get lit, they'll probably listen to that one as well. Yeah.
So. Nah, I think that song, those songs kind of like do match like hardcore vibes. You know, when you're trying to build a fan base, you know, a lot of creatives and I have that same issue. I come from the world of comedy. I was actually at the pub with my mates. Got me sitting talking like you guys. Pub's my mates. At the bar of my friends. What? Yesterday, talking about how hard it is. You can craft and work on the craft all you want, but it's so hard to have a show and struggle to get people to come to the door. I mean, walk me through that part, man. Performing live, getting people to check out your song. And SoundCloud, what's that journey been like for you?
Well, I was quite fortunate early on, I would say, because I was part of this like a label or collective called House Money. So in terms of like the shows, that was all sorted out for me anyways. I just had to turn up and just do what I needed to do. And then I think off the back of that as well, and off of me just releasing music constantly at that stage in time, I would say I was getting, you know, people reaching out to me to, you know, to do little events here and there, which was good. So
when did you decide that this stopped becoming like a thing to do for fun, hobby, this could be an actual career for you? Was there a particular show, particular album release, particular track?
I would say I would probably say when I've released my third EP Through It All, I think that's when people really really started rocking my music. I mean, I had like a, you know, like a core fan base kind of early on, but I think from Through It All, that's when things started to kind of change a little bit for me, and I started getting a little bit more attention for the songs that I was dropping as well. And yeah.
By your third EP, how many years in the game have you had? Like 2, 4, 5?
I started releasing music properly in 2017. So that would have been Through It All came out in 2018, I believe. So yeah, it was after that. Yeah.
I gotta say, man, like, it's not easy doing music. I'm telling you something you already know. I got like two novelty songs. I'm like, whoa, what a career. I work 2 days. Yeah. Like what is the creative process like? Do you get melodies first? You get concept first? You get some like random rhymes in your book and you go, I can put that together. Like, what is the process in creating your music?
So to be honest, it really just depends. I think it depends on the type of song as well. So if I'm going for more of like a, you know, like a vibe, like a, I don't know, like a party kind of tune, then 100% the melody is going to come first. And I'll probably figure out the hook as well. So I'll start off with the hook and then I'll work backwards. But then if it's more of like a rap tune, then I'll write the words. But I always need to listen to the beats first. That's kind of like the way that I like to write my songs, listening to the beat and then going off of that. But one thing that I've been doing a lot more recently as well is just, let's say if I have just a few ideas in my head, I'll just write it on my phone in my notes. And then I'll just write just paragraphs just of just words and thoughts, basically. Not even in like song structure or anything like that. And then I'll basically structure it into a song after I hear something that I feel like would be a good fit for it, basically. So that's something I'm trying to get into the habit of as well. Yeah.
Wow, man, the process is real and it's always evolving. First generation, man, like I could imagine the time I told my mom and dad I wanted to do comedy. It was an odd conversation to have. Did you have something similar? We're like, I'm gonna do music. Like, okay, but fall back on.
Exactly. Definitely early on, I think it was more, she kind of viewed, my mom especially kind of viewed it more as like a pipe dream, you know, just like a hobby. But I think as she saw me getting more into it, I think she started to see the vision a little bit more. And then as I started showing her, you know, more of my songs as well. And like, I think when she came to my first show as well, I remember this thing is 2021, 18th of November. I remember because my best friend Haroon's birthday, it was at this showcase tour actually, and it was like a competition in order to get into a show in America, I think. I came second that day, and I think from then I think she realized like, oh wow, like I think he you know, like seriously, can actually do this as like a profession, and it's not just a hobby. So
wait hold on, so your mama was in the audience, was that extra pressure, or was it kind of like
Not really. I was lucky because I what's it called? I had a whole troop with me there. Do you know what I mean? Everyone had the Through It All t-shirts as well. It was a good vibe, honestly. Like I didn't really feel too much pressure from that. I think it was more just to perform in general and like just make sure that I, you know, gain some new fans from there, because it was like multiple people performing. I was like on a lineup basically. So yeah.
So an hour before, 2 hours before you go on stage or go live or perform, I'm sure you get the butterflies. How do you navigate that, man? Like, how do you make sure to keep yourself in the moment?
I think to be honest, it just comes with like experience. To be fair, like I haven't performed in a long time, but I think because I was doing a lot of shows, like I was saying with House Money, I was doing a lot of shows consistently. I think there was a period in time where I was doing one every week. So it got to the point where you don't really feel the nerves as much anymore. I think it's more just, you get a little bit of the butterflies before you go on, of course. But then I think where you've put the reps in, where you practice, it doesn't feel as bad. But I remember my first ever show. Wow. Flobo.
Tell me.
First ever show was a complete train wreck. So I remember so my girlfriend's grandma started this charity called Descendants, which is basically like a charity that that highlights like I guess Black excellence within like the youth, and it basically highlights like their educational achievements and stuff like that, right? So it's like a suit and tie event, very formal, first ever kind of performance that I've done like in terms of rapping, anyways. And I wrote a piece for it. I think it was during the time I think Mike Brown might have passed away, or like Sandra Bland. It was like something to do with police brutality, basically, and I wrote a piece specifically for that show, And it was like 4 days before the show. Got on stage, and I crumbled. I literally crumbled.
Oh no!
Yeah. So I got through half of the verse, and it just left my brain. I just couldn't remember it.
Okay. So
I apologized to everyone. I reset myself. Went again. And then got to the end of it and then forgot it again. And I was just like, wow. So I had to do the walk of shame, had to sit down in front, like in the crowd. Like I was looking in the crowd and I saw, because there was kids there that were literally laughing at me. I was just like, oh, wow, this is, yeah. I didn't feel the greatest. But then I vowed from that day that any other show that I do after this point is never going to go down like that again.
Okay. So I appreciate that. I appreciate being open, man. But I think you skipped step. Because that was me. That was me. I'd be like, nah, I ain't never touching the microphone again. Maybe I should be working at Tesco. What made you go? What was the moment right before the moment you say, I'm gonna vow? Like, what made you go, let me step out of it? It happens. Because I feel like so many people try to have a situation like that and quit straight up.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just quite competitive. I feel like I'm quite competitive, and I think I knew that I had like what's the word I'm looking for? Like an inclination towards music. Anyways, like I've always loved music, and it just felt like it always feels like the right thing to do. So yeah, from that point, I just said, you know what, this is fine. This is just the first test run, but best believe any show after this is not going down like that. I'm shelling everything after this. So yeah, I think it was more just trying to prove to myself and prove to all the faces that were laughing at me in the crowd, basically, that, yeah, do you know what? Like, yeah, this isn't happening again.
Wow. So. I got to give you all the props in the world, man.
Thank you.
I have 10 years in the comedy game, and I had my last show, because I thought it was. But I got off stage, and I was like, am I done? But I know the feeling of having a... I actually went to Australia 2 weeks ago, and I did two shows, one in Melbourne and one in Perth. And Melbourne, love it. One of the best cities in the world. Yeah. Perth, not so much. And I was like, maybe I'm just not funny. Like, maybe people hate me out here. So, like, yo, I always ask people how to get themselves back in the game, because I think I was knocked out of the game for a while. So I respect that.
But with comedy, I would say comedy is probably one of the hardest art forms to master. Because the thing with music, especially if you've already got a fan base and stuff, and people are coming to listen to the music that they already know. So they're just going to be reciting it to you anyways. Whereas as with comedy, you're going to for example, a new country, right? So culturally, there's already a difference there. And then you have to basically appeal to everyone's sense of humor in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't do it.
I would tell you this thing. Australians are similar to Brits because they don't like slave jokes. That's just me, brother. Why y'all so mad? Y'all tell me about I'm Kill coming out March 22nd. How long is that process going from start to finish? Give me everything.
So to be fair, I'm Kill was actually written quite a while ago. Like it's not a new song by any means, but I think it definitely kind of stands the test of time. And it's basically, I think, kind of what I'm highlighting in the song, which is my versatility, because I've got such a wide musical palette and I listen to so many different kinds of music. I basically want to just showcase that I can do every genre. Like, it's not an issue for me. And yeah, that's basically what it is. And it's basically like a comeback, more or less.
Yeah. What does release days feel like? Is it kind of like just submit and you wait for praise? Do you go out and celebrate? Do you like tell your boys it's out? Like, how's that work?
It's half of the work done, isn't it, really? Because you know, so much has been put in, you know, ahead of time, right? So you know, like doing the artwork, doing the cover, writing the song, making sure that it's up on the distribution sites, ready to go, having, you know, I guess promotional pieces to release. To be honest, I'm a little bit behind on that as well, and that's what I'm currently doing at the moment. So it's all a learning curve at the moment. But I think I feel quite strongly about the song. I feel like I know it's going to do well, and even if it doesn't, I've got so many other bangers coming afterwards. So I think it's more just like a reintroduction to me, my music, and I haven't dropped anything in a long time, Flo, but it's been a hot minute. You know, life gets in the way. You know, I guess you kind of fall out of love with certain things as well. But I think I'm in a much like better headspace now, and I've got a lot more help as well, which is good. I think before I was doing a lot of stuff kind of like independently, but now I've got like a small team around me. Like my girlfriend helps me out with so much stuff. Saf, my boy Haroon helps me, is basically managing me now as well. And it just helps to have like, I guess, you know, multiple minds that kind of think alike, that have the kind of similar vision, just working towards the same goal. And it just streamlines everything, makes everything a lot more efficient. So I think it's, this time around, it's just going to be a lot different.
I gotta ask that about that, man, because the having a network and having a team is always great. Some people don't have that fortunate situation. You said that you had to take a step back and learn how to fall in love with it again. Can I ask what happened? Was it just burnt out? Was it just like just being tired, paying bills?
Yeah. So it's a mixture of all of those things. Yeah, burnt out, having to pay bills, but also I think just getting a little bit complacent and feeling a little bit jaded as well. I think at the time, especially when I was younger, obviously looking back, I know I was completely wrong, but I just felt like I should have been, you know, like way further than I actually was. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. Firstly, it wasn't my time yet. And looking back on it, I actually didn't put as much work in as I needed to in you know, for me to even get to that stage in the first place, right? Okay. So I think kind of getting rid of that entitlement, I think definitely helped, because I feel like a lot of artists, we feel that. We feel like, oh, this song's amazing. Like, why is it not blowing up? But it hasn't blown up because you haven't done everything you need to in order for it to blow up. You haven't, you know, promoted it the right way. You haven't, you know, maybe the song isn't just isn't that great. Do you know what I mean? Like, these are things that we have to come to terms with. And I think I've kind of just like, you know, removed that mindset completely. And now I'm just taking it song by song, you know, project by project, and just slowly building it up again. I think, yeah, and just having fun with it as well. I think for a long time, it kind of felt like a job for a little while. Like something that I had to do, something that I had to maintain, instead of like something that I actually wanted to keep up. But I think taking that break made me realize, like, you know what? No, music is actually my love, is actually my passion. It's actually what I see myself doing long term. So yeah.
Can I ask you, why do you think that is? Of course, every person is different. Like, why do we, again, I come from a perspective of not having anyone in my family who entertains, right? Why do we do something we know we're good at or know we love, and then we instantly make it a job? Is it because of the work ethic that's instilled by us? Is it because it's a pressure to be successful quickly? I mean, I'm just a more man's opinion.
Yeah, no, I think it's, again, it's a combination of a load of different things. But I think it is the pressure as well. I think a lot of artists, especially, you know, mid-20s, when you start, you know, start approaching 30, you think, is my time nearly up? Is there like a time for me to be on? But really and truly, I don't really feel like there is, you know, like there's Jay-Z released Reasonable Doubt when he was 26, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right. Obviously, I know it's a completely different time.
No, but that's ancient, think, back then. 26 starting first album is ancient. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's just about kind of removing that mindset and just going at your own pace and doing what works for you. But like, most importantly, just being as consistent as possible. I think that's one thing that I've learned as well. Is just to now just trying to be as consistent as possible and just trying to get as much reps as possible as well, whether that be writing, whether that be you know, like video editing, whether that be mixing, whatever it is. Just getting as much reps in.
Do you produce your own stuff, or you have a team doing that as well?
So most of the beats that I get, I'm unfortunate, another one of my best friends, his name's Blankface, shout out Blankface, he produces a lot of the stuff. And I've got, you know, other producers that I work closely with as well. But he I would say he was the main one. And in terms of mixing, so I actually went to uni for music production, so I know how to mix, you know, here and there, but I wouldn't say that I'm like a, you know, a crazy sound engineer. But I've got a guy that I've been working with from the very beginning as well, first project, named AJ, who I need to shout out as well. So I've got a small team around me now that I can lean on and rely on, so it's good.
That's cool, man. I feel like if your whole squad went to the club, you can like rent the whole place out. That's cool.
Yeah. Definitely.
I don't think people who are not creative understand how important it is for support. Even if it's kind of like, yo, we don't see the money now, but just the time can have return on investment. Because a lot of us, I think, burn out and get jaded because they feel, well, when I started, they thought I was crazy, but no one's buying in right now. Maybe they're right. And they kind of go, well, 5 years ago, I had this idea and dream, but it didn't happen. But yeah. I like the fact you have like your, I don't want to say second act, but this new version for you. Look, as we record this, it's pretty much still early in 2024, man. What do you want to accomplish this year, if you know what I'm asking?
Ooh, I mean, I do have like a few set numbers in mind. But I think the main thing for me, though, is just to be consistent and just get out there again and just have fun with it. I think that's one thing that I first started making music, which kind of, I guess, made people like attracted to what I was doing. I think they could see that I was genuinely enjoying what I was doing. And I think it's bringing back that element as well, but kind of showing different, different elements, different facets of what I'm trying to do as well. So, for example, with Unkill, me and my boy Haru, we literally sat down, we made a script for the video. We did a whole, you know, video treatment, literally step by step, scene by scene, shot by shot. So it's kind of like our directorial debut? Is that correct to say?
Yeah, exactly.
So just having fun with the whole process, I think, is something that I want to do. Just showing more of me as well. I feel like, obviously nowadays, there's like a big kind of, there's like a big push and like a big expectation for you to kind of keep up on social media and show like different elements of you. And I want to do it in a way that's like, you know, authentic to me, basically.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the main thing. And I want to get, you know, a whole load of streams as well. Like I've got a figure in mind. So I want to say like 250K, I think, is realistic by the end of the year. And then also round off the year with, you know, like a headline show. I think that would be cool, man.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a venue or city in mind?
I've got two in mind. I want to do it locally.
Okay.
Hammersmith would be great because that's where I grew up. Obviously not Apollo, not quite yet. not Hammersmith Apollo yet, but there's one nearby that I've got in mind. But if not, there'll be another one in Central, which I actually went to yesterday, which is pretty cool. Covent Garden. So yeah.
I'm with you. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, but I'm from Brooklyn, and everyone always asks me what would be the idea. I'm like, yeah, give me the King's Theater, give me Barclays, give me MSG, I'll do it, I'll fly
MSG,
it.
Come on.
Go from 0 to 20,000 seats.
Literally.
Why not? So we all the guests we have in New Amsterdam Radio, we ask them a couple department questions, kind of like a lightning round. Are you down to play with me, man?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we got plans for this year, but do you have destinations left on your travel bucket list to visit? And if so, where?
Ooh, Tokyo. That's Japan is like number one. Tokyo especially, but I want to visit like Osaka as well. Like those are the two kind of places. I've always wanted to go to Peru. I've always wanted to go to Peru. And where else would I want to go? I want to go back home to Thailand as well at some point, just to see family. I think that would be okay. Nice. So yeah.
You just picking all the humid countries, like
yeah. Listen,
I just want to sweat.
When you live in the UK, trust me, you long for that. And obviously, us being melanated, we need that vitamin D, right? We need it. And I'm being deprived of it right now. So anywhere hot, take me there.
I hear that. I was there for a week and a half. Yeah. I only had clouds and stuff. But I will say this: compared to like, I'm not trying to knock on the French, but my friends have gone to Paris and be like, whack. Ain't nobody ever went to Tokyo and not like it. It changes your life, man. I had to go this year myself, and I just loved it. Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka, those three. I didn't go to Okinawa.
Kyoto is another one.
But Kyoto, as we think about Japan, the old and new, like Pokemon, it's Kyoto. That's what you need to
know. Okay.
That's where Game Freak was made. And they'll tell you that, too. There's like temples and shrines that the Pokemon were named and built after, like Ho-Oh was like after the name of an actual Kyoto god. It was the whole thing. So get out there, man. Do it. Yo, book my man out there in Tokyo, fam.
Come on, man. Yeah, book me out there, man. I'm ready. What's
up? What would you say is your favorite junk food, my friend?
Oh, junk food. Five Guys. It's got to be Five Guys. I don't know why. It's just the way they make the burgers, like the smash burgers. I just love that.
I thought it was kind of weird. They got a shout out that song. I was like, okay, yeah, this that's a Five Guy. Which, by the way, my cousin lives in North Holt. So the last night I was in England, we met in Ealing Broadway. In fact, I was at the Hotel Xanadu right in that corner. Okay. So I'm sitting there going like, I was having the time of my life trying to figure out what's going on. Everyone collects something. What do you collect?
To be honest, like it's been a minute since I have, but I will say. I'll say probably vinyls, but that's a lie because I haven't collected them in ages. But yeah, that would be the thing I would collect. Let's say
you got vinyls. A collection that counts. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, I got a small, you know, little small something.
I gotta ask you this basic ass podcast question, but who's on your playlist right now?
To be honest, I'm not even gonna lie to you, but I haven't actually been listening to that much music. You know, I've just been listening to Blank Faces beats, like 24/7, but. When I was, it was definitely, it's kind of a mixture of stuff, to be honest. So Erykah Badu, I'll say, is always on rotation. J. Cole, of course. Drake for a little while. Motive 105 is an artist that I know, one of my boys is called. And did I say Brent Fayers? Did I say Brent Fayers?
You did now, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Brent Fayers is another one. Nux. Yeah, it's quite a few people, but it's very interchangeable. It changes from time to time. Like one day I'll be listening to hip hop, another day I'll be listening to like Sam Cooke, Donny Hathaway, like you know the soul legends, and yeah, it just changes from time to time.
I'm with you all the time. Why not? Yeah. You know, and it's funny because like how we get our inspirations and songs and stuff. Like, where I grew up in New York City, so hip hop was number one. But I went to I went to uni the first time in the South. So I got into like Lil Jon and Lil Scrappy, and then I went to uni the second time out in California. So I was all like, okay. "What up, Buster? Whoa!"
Like, yeah, it was a whole different, like West Coast.
Yeah, West Coast. Anyway, yeah. So I'm with that. What's been one of the greatest things a fan has ever given you?
What, given me like physically?
It could be physically, words of encouragement, a fan art, like whatever, something that a fan has done for you, makes you go, "Dang, thanks."
I think, to be honest, I mean, I don't think I've reached a level where I've gotten stuff physically yet, but I think it's just the compliments, like the compliments I do get after shows, you know, just saying that, listen, like on stage, like we could tell that you're going to be a star, like stuff like that. It makes me feel good because obviously it makes you feel like I'm on the right track and it happens and it's not like a one-time thing either. It's happened consistently at shows. So I know that it's not people just, you know, blowing smoke up my, you know, I know that it's something real and definitely gives me more confidence to do what I do. So yeah, I mean, any kind of compliments or confidence boosters, 100%, man. I appreciate those all. So yeah.
And lastly, my friend, do you believe in days off? And if so, what do you do?
Well, yes, because I mean, I took a 3-year hiatus, so yeah, I definitely believe in days off. But I think now though, I'm just getting in the habit of just doing at least an hour of something, you know, every single day, just so that you stay on point. And yeah, there are going to be times where I feel like you probably do need a rest or do need a break. But yeah, I would say not too long, because you don't want to regress, or you don't want to, I guess, you know, have to like pick up from where you left off. I think it's just better just to, even if you do something light, just to stay consistent, I think is the way forward. And it's what I've been doing. So yeah. So I have no more days off, just like light days, like deload days, for example.
Right.
Like, you know, in the gym, like deload days. Yeah. Like that, or deload weeks, for example, like stuff like that. So yeah.
It's funny. I've been asking that question, I would say, for the last 50 or so episodes of the show. And it's always interesting to see what people interpret that as, like whether it's kind of like completely disconnected, don't see me, I'm out in the woods, or if I work a little on their phones. And there's no wrong or right answer, but it's kind of cool to see how we all are creative. You can't, or how we filter that when the energy comes and inspiration strikes and all that. So, but again, CRS, man, thanks so much for being on the show. And man, New Amsterdam Radio Podcast for creators, brother. If I want to connect with you, if I'm a fan, I want to hear your music, how I go about doing that?
Okay, so I think by the time this episode comes out, my Instagram handle will have changed. So it'll be crs.sounds. I'm doing a whole social media refresh.
Okay. Breaking news, y'all.
All of that stuff. So yeah, I think I wanted to get rid of the Young King, just because I think I'm moving on into the next chapter of my career. So yeah, crs.sounds is where you're gonna be able to find me and everything, and obviously CRS on all streaming platforms. And yeah.
Man, give it up, big up and all that, man. If you got a tour on the West Coast, you hit me up. I'm gonna roll through. I'm reading posters.
No, thank you so much for having me as well. Honestly, really appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW Amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.